Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 419. Praise you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for the privilege to gather together again as your people to worship you and seek your face. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who came, died, and rose again to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. And he has done so for all here today who have put their trust in him. Father, we pray that this hour will be a blessing for everyone here, and that we'll draw closer to you and to one another, learn something from your word together. We pray for your blessing on Pastor as he speaks your word. Fill him with your spirit. Bless him as he brings the message. And in all that we do, in singing and praising you and praying together, in sharing the news of the church, all of these things in this hour and the fellowship that follows, we pray that it will bring honor and glory to your name, be pleasing in your sight, that you will be rejoicing in our fellowship here today. Pray that your name will be lifted high, and we thank you for all the mothers here today and for the blessing that moms are in all of our lives. We pray that you would bless the ladies, encourage their hearts, and as they go through this day, this special day, where we honor the moms among us, we pray that you would bless them richly and guide them in their great work that they do in their homes. Father, we know the home is under attack. We see it. It's going on all around us, and we pray that we as your children will stand strong on the truths of your word and on what family and home is all about. And may we be a shining beacon on a hill, both as a church and in our homes. We give you thanks for all these things and commit this hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to be reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 31. This is the classic passage on mothers, and so we'll be taking a look at that. All right, chapter 31 of Proverbs. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your grace and love to us. We worship you because you are worthy. You are our God. You are our Father. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world to take our sins away, to give us eternal life, to show us the Father's will. May we walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. Lord, this is Mother's Day. We pray that you'll bless all of the ladies and undertake for them and meet their needs today. We just thank you so much for all of the blessings that we have enjoyed because these women are so faithful and true. And we pray your blessings upon each one of them. We do pray, our Father, today for those who are sick, that you might touch and heal them. We think of Joanne and Paul. We pray for them that they will soon be much better. We pray for Jim Moyer that you'll continue to watch over him and keep him, help him to get into better health. We pray for Brother Steve and this problem with his head. We pray that it will be taken care of and that there won't be any real problems from that. And Lord, we pray for the Grassi family as they've lost this dear one. We pray for his church and all of the work that they have been doing. We pray that your blessings might be upon them. Lord, we do remember our missionaries this morning. We pray that you'll be with the Owens especially as they'll be coming to give us a report to be with us for fellowship in September. We think of others also. We just thank you for all of those that we are able to help in some way. And we do pray for them. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide them in every step that they take, that they might be well-pleasing to you. We just thank you so much for all of your goodness and grace to us. We pray for your will to be done in everything that we undertake. We just pray this morning for Damien as we are looking forward to next week and about the baptism. We just pray that your will would be done concerning all of this. We just commit it into your hands. And Lord, we ask you to guide us and lead us throughout this day and give us wisdom and understanding and knowing how we can better serve you and do your holy will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day, as I said before. This is a day when we celebrate motherhood and all that it involves. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." George Washington said something very similar. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am and all I hope to be, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Two of our greatest presidents, we see the influence that the mother had in their lives. Mother's Day is Remembrance Day. We pause on the path of the year to pay honor and worshipful tribute to the mother our heart holds dear. For whether here or in heaven, her love is our haven and guide. For always the memory of mother is a beacon light shining inside. Time cannot destroy her memory. and years can never erase the tenderness and the beauty of the love in a mother's face. And when we think of our mother, we draw nearer to God above. For only God in His greatness could fashion a mother's love. Another president, Theodore Roosevelt, once said, "The successful mother, the mother who does her part in training her children, who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the supreme asset of national life." I don't know what the men think of that, but anyway, that's a very good statement, and certainly it's so important, isn't it? There are, of course, all kinds of mothers. We know that. My mother, as I've said before other times, but I'll say it again, was a very ordinary person, but one of extraordinary love and devotion for her children. She was the one who took me to Sunday school and church. She unselfishly devoted herself to her family. She was the one who insisted that I go to the service, the evangelistic service, the night I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a 15-year-old boy. I can remember that so well. I was wanting to go to the drive-in movie, but instead she said, "No, you're going to go to church with us." And I did. The Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and here I am. God has blessed us so much because of that. She went to be with the Lord when I was a freshman in Bible college, only 40-some years old, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again someday. I know that she loved the Lord. The Bible gives us all kinds of examples of mothers. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning to a degree. There's the good, the bad, and maybe the indifferent as well. And Eve, the first woman, is said to be the mother of all living. You know, she's the mother of us all. And without her, we wouldn't be here, right? Sarah became a mother in her old age. You remember? God provided a miracle there. He waited. Why did he wait 25 years? It's a good question. Anyway, she was in her 90s. And I don't think that's been tried since then. I'm not sure. Rebecca helped her son Jacob deceive his father and steal the blessing from his twin brother Esau. Then there was Jezebel, that wicked woman, the wife of King Ahab, that caused Elijah so much trouble, and who met a most untimely death. The book of Proverbs has a great deal to say about women. There are warnings, such as we find in Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. It says, he's warning his son. It says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman," foreign woman, one who you cannot trust, "the strange woman, even from the stranger who flatters with her words, who forsakes the guide of her youth," excuse me, "and forgets the covenant of her God," excuse me, "for her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." Excuse me. I've got a little frog in my throat, I think, this morning. So we see there is a warning, and throughout the book of Proverbs, we find these warnings over and over again to beware of those that would lead us astray. And especially as the author of Proverbs is warning his son to be careful and to live a godly life, to know the way to go. The last chapter, as we read this morning, gives us some wise words from a godly mother and a description of the ideal wife and mother who brings honor to God and joy to her family. So we're going to look this morning at Proverbs chapter 31. Some of the wise words that we find here in the beginning. We said the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So she was teaching him. We don't know very much about Lemuel. We're not sure who he was. Some of the scholars think that King Lemuel was actually Solomon, and that his mother, Bathsheba, was the one who taught him these lessons. Now, that's only one theory. There's others as well. But anyway, we find that the point here is that she taught him. She was concerned about him, and she taught him these lessons. And she says, "What, my son? What the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows?" So all these things that she's talking about here, her son that she was concerned about, the one that she had brought into the world and had high hopes for. You know, when you have a newborn baby, right? It's so scary, right? I'm sure it is. I know we went through that a long time ago, right? This one over here. But anyway, we find here, she said, the son of my womb, the one that I am bringing into the world, and the one of my vows. She made the vows. You know, I can't help but think, you know, today with all of the debate about abortion and all of that, this woman chose to have this child. I don't know what kind of process they would have had back in those days anyway. It's taken all these years to come up with the ungodly devices that they have developed in killing these innocent children. You know, something that really bothers me, and I think it should bother you as well, to take the life of these little children before they have a chance even to live, before they can even come out into the world. How ungodly is that? It's like, you know, over in the Old Testament it talked about the heathen people offering up their children to Molech, you know, the god. They would throw them into the fire. What's the difference? Huh? Here we are, educated and you know, advanced and all that, and yet people debating about the right that a woman has to abortion. What right do you have to take someone else's life? No, he or she has a right to live, and we as God's people should support that and not allow people to take innocent life. I know sometimes it's frustrating because what can we do? We are the minority, right? Yes. But I think there's many others also that are trying to save the lives of the children. And I just saw yesterday, I think, in Maine, which they had a huge group of people that came out to defend life, and to, because they wanted to have abortion for any reason up until the time of birth, and these people came out against that. So that's an encouraging word. And there are those who are standing for life. And certainly, I hope that they're successful. Anyway, that's just a comment. Anyway, we find here that this woman loved her son, and she dedicated him to the Lord. And she warns him here to not fall prey to the sins of this world. Two primary ones that she mentions, of course, is women, wild women, strange women, foreign women, those who would lead him astray, cause him to do something contrary to what he should. And here he says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. You know, they say Alexander the Great, what, 30-some years old, died from drunkenness as a king when he ruled the world. But alcohol got him. He died. And it says here, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink. So here we have the twin things that will cause people all kinds of problems. Adultery and alcohol. These things that that cause them to go astray. So it says, be careful. And so this woman here is warning her son about these things. And he says, give strong drink to him that is ready to perish. You know, leave it for medicinal purposes, perhaps, or something. But why would a person destroy their life with something of this nature? Today, it's not just strong drink, it's drugs, right? They didn't have that back in that day. And yet today we find people killing themselves with these things which are supposed to be so pleasurable, right? Oh, I'm so happy. You know, here I am drunk as a skunk and I'm happy as a lark, right? What kind of, I don't know. Anyway, we find here he's talking about all these things. Now, here we find these wise words from this mother. She's helping him and seeking to make him a worthy child of God and one that would bring honor to his name. Now, I wanted to look here in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And verse 14. We find here three things that Timothy's mother, Eunice, passed on to him. The first thing it says is a love for the Scriptures. And, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. By love of the Scriptures, we find here that Timothy's mother and his grandmother were believers, and they passed this on to their son or grandson. So first it's a love for the Scriptures. And it says, continue in that. You know, what you've had since you were an infant, when we read to you from the Holy Scriptures, when we sung the songs to you, continue on in that. That's something that happens. You know, so often people, when they get to be a certain age, they think they can go on their own and do as they please, and there's no problems. But she says, continue on. And the Word of God is altogether necessary and useful. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. There's none of it that's not. And you can learn everything you need to know and how you need to live and how you can be sure that you have eternal life in Christ. You know? It tells us so clearly in the Scriptures, and we rejoice in that. We find also she passed on to him a sincere faith. Notice it says, this is in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was blessed to have both a godly grandmother and a mother who taught him the Scriptures and who lived a faithful life before him. Gave him an example to follow and taught him how he should know the Lord and then live for him. Paul says, I know that you have this faith in your heart. It's the same kind of faith that your mother and grandmother had. Unfeigned faith. Sincere. True. And something that you can count on. So Timothy had that kind of faith. And then the third thing was, she passed on a desire to serve others. Now, it doesn't say that specifically, but I think that she, the mother, and the grandmother, had to have shown him the need to be a faithful servant of God. Look at them with me in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Here's where Paul first finds Timothy. And we see what it says about him in Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. So here we find Timothy had an advantage of a godly grandmother and mother. But unfortunately, his father, it doesn't say that he was a believer. He was a Gentile and apparently did not have the faith to lead his son in the right pathway. So it fell back on the ladies to take care of that, as it does, unfortunately, so often. But his father apparently was not a believer. So that's always a problem when there's a mixed marriage like this. And yet, Timothy turned out all right because his mom and his grandmother were there to show him the way and to keep him in the right direction. So turn back with me to Proverbs 31. And we see here some of the warnings that the mother gives. We've seen already about alcohol and how it's so dangerous, and adultery, how it needs to be avoided at all cost, and because it will destroy your life and countless lives are ruined. Homes are destroyed because of these sins. You know that as well as I do. The mother here teaches her son to be merciful and fair in all of his dealings, to judge righteously, and to defend the poor and needy. What a wonderful example this is for this man who apparently was in authority. He was king, and needed to guide others in the right way. And she says, be sure that you treat them with dignity and with respect, and don't judge harshly, and keep a sober mind and heart, and follow in the way of righteousness. So here we have these teaching of the mother for the child. And I know many of you have done the same thing with your little ones. And God is blessing in your homes because of that. Then we find the last part of this chapter, he's talking about the woman herself. Who can find a virtuous woman? A virtuous woman, a woman of moral character, and one who is puts God first and seeks to do his will. So we find here this section, actually, in the Hebrew, is an acrostic poem that each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's in a kind of, for memory's sake, you know. It shows that they had a concern for memorizing the Scripture, for learning the Scripture. And we see that. We talked about Mary this morning and how she knew so much Scripture from the Old Testament. Her song is full of all of these qualities about God and His mercy and grace. And it's so important to memorize the Scriptures, you know. Now, I know it's a little hard today, because we have so many different versions and all this, that, and the other. But you need to take one of those and begin to learn the Scriptures. You know, whatever version you use, memorize the Scriptures. That's important, isn't it? And this is one of the things that they did back in the olden days, and something I think that's very important to continue on. Oh, here it is. A virtuous woman is a real treasure, it says, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Much more important than any material thing. The gems of this life. A virtuous woman is so much more important. And virtuous means a woman of noble character and of moral strength. Someone that you can depend on. Someone who has these qualities. We find that in verse 11, she is trustworthy and loyal to the heart of her husband, safely trusts in her. He doesn't have to worry about what she's doing. He trusts her. He knows that she's genuine, so that he has no need of spoil. He doesn't have to worry about what he's going to receive. He can trust his wife. She's loyal. She's a real asset to her husband. This makes for a happy home. It says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. My, that's a wonderful way to be, isn't it? You know, when a home has a godly husband and a godly wife that live together in harmony and can trust each other and serve together. She works willingly, it says in verse 13. These are the household things. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's not afraid to get herself dirty, perhaps, and she's willing to do whatever needs to be done to keep the household in good repair. Says she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, you know. I don't know where they got it from in those days. They didn't have supermarkets and things like we have today. But wherever this food was, she was willing to go there and get it. She's a hard worker and not lazy and able to accomplish all these things. And notice it says in verse 20, she was generous to the needy. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So she's a generous person, one who is compassionate, one who wants to help others in their time of need. She provides for her family, it says in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Well, I was reading about this. The scarlet here, it says it can also mean her clothing was doubled. In other words, that makes more sense. You know, scarlet is a color, right? Red. But here, she's talking about she provides for her family. She makes sure that they are not going to go out without their clothes sufficient. And all of her household is taken care of. She makes sure that they're not cold in the wintertime and makes sure that everything is like it ought to be. So she provides for her family. And she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So she wants to be attractive as well. Who doesn't? I think we all do. But it's not the most important thing, is it? It's one of those things that we do. We try to fix ourselves up as best we can. Some of us have more trouble than others. But anyway, well, we're doing the best we can. But notice what Peter has to say about this over in 1 Peter. Chapter 3, and he's talking about a woman and his time. This is New Testament now, and he says in verse, chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. That word conversation means the conduct, the way she handles herself, while they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So in other words, don't be so flamboyant, you know, and try to attract attention to yourself with all of the latest gizmos that they have to make you beautiful. You know, Peter says, no, the beauty is inside, right? We are beautiful on the inside, and then that shines forth on the outside as well. So here, inner beauty is much more important than outward attractiveness, right? Although the attractiveness is nice, isn't it? We like to look nice. She's careful in her speech and kind in her words. Back in Proverbs again, I didn't say that. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She's a kind and gracious lady. And verse 30 gives her secret. After we see all these other things that she does and how she conducts herself and her behavior, verse 30 says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, that's the most important thing, isn't it? That you fear the Lord. That's the expression that's used throughout the Old Testament. We put our faith and trust in Him. We have a reverential trust, confidence in God, and we want to please Him. This is what it's saying here, a sincere desire to please God. So the fear of the Lord, it says in another verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the starting place, isn't it? We fear God. We have to realize who He is and that we want to please Him. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, there it is. Please God. Seek to do His will. And then, of course, we know from the New Testament, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. who came to save us from our sins. Verse 31 here, it says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." She deserves recognition and praise for her conduct. Husbands and children should show honor to their wives and mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the year, right? We should show our respect and the blessing that she is to us, and how we should show her that we care for her. Sometimes we forget to do that, I believe. So the ideal woman is the one who fears the Lord, who knows and loves Him. She's the one who is faithful to her husband, her family, and her God. She is the one who is fruitful in service and willing to work hard to accomplish her goals. No matter who we are, I trust each one of us will receive instruction from this, and that we will go back and look at it again and again, see if we can't improve to some degree. I know most of you are already doing these things. But at any rate, we can learn something from the Holy Scriptures and seek to live according to it and be the kind of person that will show forth to others who God is and who we are and how we can serve Him. So let's determine in our hearts to truly fear the Lord and follow Him in truth and righteousness. May the Lord help us. Father, we thank You for Your word today to our hearts. We thank You for each one of the ladies, as I said before, and we do want to give them honor and glory because of who they are and what they do. We want to give You the glory most of all, because You are the one who has saved us from our sins, given us eternal life in Christ Jesus, and that we can serve You with a heart that desires to do Your will. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified in all of our lives. We pray in His name. Amen.